This is Changemakers with Katie Gore, finding the right solutions for the affordable housing community.
Thanks for joining me for the conclusion of my conversation with changemaker Antonio Marquez, the principal and managing partner at Comunidad Partners, a real estate investment firm specializing in workforce and affordable housing in culturally diverse communities throughout the country. Antonio, you have said that before you wake up every morning, you're fired up about how to reimagine housing. And in part one, you summarized a few of the challenges. But if you were going to wave a magic wand and reimagine affordable housing, what would you do?
I'd say it's looking at the people. And just like any other business, and this is what was so fascinating to me when I looked at real estate, is real estate's one of the largest asset classes. Yet it's really behind in terms of understanding the customer and tailoring and crafting an experience and a product and service, because I think those three just go hand in hand, that are tailored to the customer. And so, you know, in terms of reimagining in the future, if I could have a dream or a wish for where housing is 20, 30, you know, 50 years from now, it's really thinking about the people that live in these communities and crafting something that actually serves their needs, right? And a lot of, you know, value add multifamily historically has been perceived as going in, investing in a number of renovations, increasing rents substantially, which creates displacement. It really disrupts kind of the community fabric and honestly the economic stability of communities, and employers are having challenges finding employees because they can't find housing. But you know, our view of value add is investing in the resident and understanding their needs and crafting housing around that. Beyond that, I think there's a lot of other opportunity. There's low-hanging fruit from a legislative and regulatory perspective. So I'm fortunate enough to sit on a number of boards. I chair the Workforce Housing Committee at NMHC. And you know, we're working on legislation that can help, you know, change kind of the regulatory paradigm, you know, at the federal level, but we are really trying to create a blueprint that can also be applied at the state and local level. So YIMBYism, we're trying to promote more of that through a YIMBY Act, through Up for Growth, promoting housing near Transit Act, now the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that was approved, really trying to understand and harness that to support affordable housing near transit, and even the Choice and Affordable Housing Act, which will hopefully support the Section 8 housing choice vouchers, as I was mentioning before. Solutions like that, subsidies like property tax abatements, grants, even some CSR partnerships with large employers that really need to find housing, like Google and Facebook have done similar programs in the Valley. We need to figure out material costs on labor, immigration modernization, because we have a major labor shortage, figuring out more innovative solutions for material costs around potentially modular housing or tariffs. So there's a lot of different levers that we can pull. I think the key is making sure that it is synthesized into a cohesive plan that has a high probability of success, getting the right stakeholders on the bus to help, you know, help us move this along. You know, it really takes a village. Myself sitting here, there's a number of other leaders. You've had Ron Terwilliger on. I really admire him. And so we just need more leaders to continue to step up and really do this as, again, a community, a national community, right? To really move the needle and get the support we need. Because it's a severe challenge, but I'm encouraged and optimistic about the future that we'll be able to make some meaningful progress, particularly over the long term.
You know, we've also had a new Nada Rajan from Facebook, or now Meta. She's been a podcast guest before, and she actually in the Bay Area has had, you know, quite a bit of work, and they've invested millions of dollars in affordable housing policy. Are you seeing the same kind of cooperative endeavors with some of the, you know, companies that you're working with, or, you know, are you starting at square one and still trying to get awareness of the issue to be, you know, the first hurdle, or is it more advanced than that now?
Yeah, I think right now, in terms of the CSR, that whole movement, it's early. I think it's more awareness. I think the Silicon Valley is more progressive and they have a much better understanding of it, you know, frankly, because it's such a, it's a deep and major challenge in that MSA. But we're working in Atlanta, you know, with Home Depot and Coca-Cola and in Dallas with other large employers. We just have a partnership that we've created with Prologis, and they're a nonprofit that's really trying to connect our residents to better paying jobs, durable jobs in industrial. So these employers are Amazon, UPS, Ferguson. A lot of these large, you know, industrial users are really also needing employees and a labor force that, that lives in our community. So really partnering with them and helping them understand that housing can be a solution as long as we create the right, you know, structural, you know, partnerships so that we can, you know, create almost, you know, a pipeline that goes both ways. Because if they're offering jobs that are high paying jobs that are durable, you know, our residents can afford to live in our communities for a long period of time. And we're solving their, you know, their challenges as well. But we're really just trying to broaden that. I think we've done it anecdotally in certain markets, but we really need more broad-based solutions on that dimension.
So where are the markets, or, you know, where are you mostly located? Is it in the Sun Belt area?
Yeah, it's in the Sun Belt markets. So really in the Southwest and the Southeast. Texas is our largest market. There's a couple of reasons for that. Really, we believe that those markets will outperform in population growth, job growth, household formation, even income growth. These are, you know, markets that are not only growing, but they have a high proportion of workforce residents that live in these communities. Our approach is preserve as much as we can and then build what we can. You know, as long as you have municipalities and jurisdictions that are welcoming and open to that, we're trying to do as much as that in the markets throughout the Sun Belt that we feel have the right, not only economic, but also demographic shifts that are occurring within them.
You know, you mentioned Veritas Impact Partners. Explain what they do or how they function as a nonprofit arm for community ad.
Yeah. So when we, as I mentioned, when we started our company, really ESG and social impact, we were doing that ourselves just because it was the right thing to do. But we realized as we grew, we were doing it internally. We realized that as we grew, the focus on social impact had to be, we had to have more breadth and depth to it. And so we felt the right vehicle to do that was through a nonprofit so that we could have really a dedicated team that was really aligned with the mission, but could also support not only some of our initiatives. And we, you know, basically gave them our playbook of what we have been doing for the last decade plus. So we wanted a more sustainable kind of team, dedicated team for it. But beyond that, we also wanted it to transcend comunidad. So I'm a big believer that we're only as good as the adoption of the industry, as the adoption of other peers. And so if we can actually demonstrate that this works, and not only is there a social lens and aspect to this, but there is also an economic lens that other, you know, operators and sponsors and developers can do, then that just, you know, rises all boats, right? And so the thought with Veritas is it goes beyond comunidad with other providers that are like-minded that are really trying to, you know, make change in these communities. And they help, you know, with the programming, with the data, with the support. And, you know, part of their secret sauce is the resident engagement, because that is so fundamental and key to doing all these other programs. Because one of the mistakes that we made is, you know, we were doing a top-down approach, you know, ideas about great programs or what touched our heart or what we thought would be great for residents, right? We realized that that was, although well-intentioned, not the greatest solution for our residents. So we really had it from the ground up. We've got a resident council, almost like an HOA for apartments that Veritas helps us kind of govern and support and provide a budget towards. And so that's kind of how they function within our organization and through a partnership with Comunidad.
Speaking of resident council and tenants' interests, it was recently announced that Comunidad Partners has been selected as the first Freddie Mac Impact sponsor. And you guys have been recognized as, you know, in the industry as working to preserve or create affordable housing, which is one thing, but also including some of these unique initiatives for advancing tenants' interests. You know, is that, in your opinion, what pushed Comunidad to the top of this list?
I think it comes from authenticity. And I think it comes from, in terms of my background and history, my father was a farm worker, right? And so he really worked extraordinarily hard to really accomplish what he did. And so dirt under nails and just failure not being an option, you know, and so that's how we just operate within our organization. And I think we built a relationship with Freddie Mac for a number of years, and they took notice. And the leadership has been tremendous in really kind of taking the time to really understand what we do, why we do it, right? And then how we do it. I think more people talk about how we do it or see it on the back end. And I think you need to understand the why, you know, people do the things that they do. And that ultimately portends the how and the ultimate results. So Freddie Mac took a lot of time really understanding that, understanding the importance of it through their sustainability bonds framework, really trying to align the sustainability bonds framework with the interests of the borrower in this case, and then vice versa, making sure that our interests as a borrower were aligned with Freddie Mac. And so we built that partnership working with the leadership. They asked us what have we found that works, and we tried to tinker with some products to really scale social impact in multifamily. And so that's how that relationship started. I learned late last year that we were going to be selected. It was a great honor and a welcome surprise. I didn't expect it at all. But again, I think it's just the manifestation of years and decades of work. Again, the natural byproduct being, you know, great people that recognize that, and hopefully other people can recognize that and want to do the same. Because, like I said, this work goes beyond us. It transcends us. It's really our purpose to really change the industry and support communities and the residents that we serve.
Well, it's a great accolade and a great honor indeed. So congratulations to you and your team in that recognition.
I appreciate that. I really do. It means a lot to me.
All right. A couple more things before we wrap up here. First, what do you think are some of the opportunities and challenges to tackling the affordability crisis?
The way that I think about this, you know, is the affordability crisis is obviously getting a lot of attention and rightfully so. But I also feel that, you know, the magnitude and the severity of this is actually, you know, frankly misunderstood, and we need to be doing more. It's more than just housing, right? Because it's what's happening in these communities. It's what's happening for stability. It's what's happening for employers in these communities, and really kind of the intersection of all these different factors that happen, you know, that can have consequential effects. You know, housing should almost be viewed as now, you know, a national precious resource, almost like water or timber, because it's a depleting resource, and it's really hard to preserve and build, and we just need to be doing more. Now, the way that we kind of think of that, the challenge and that rubric is there's really kind of six components, if you want to think about it in this housing creation, kind of the anatomy of housing creation or the life cycle of housing creation. One is legislative and regulatory. The other is material costs and labor, which is inputs. Others is subsidies and incentives. Land access is a big challenge right now. Tax and treasury is another lever, and then capital markets. And so there's really a whole host of things that we can do within those kind of six components of the anatomy of housing creation, like legislative and regulatory, things like YIMBYism and supporting the YIMBY Act and promoting housing near transit act, which was just released, or choice in affordable housing. So legislatively, there's great momentum there, and there's more work that we can actually do to get that kind of blueprint onto the state and local level. But those things are kind of, you know, moving in the right direction. Subsidies and incentives like grants and property tax exemptions are getting a lot more attention. But even density bonuses or impact fee concessions, almost like on a sliding scale for affordable density. And of course, the inclusionary zoning and mixed income in particular, to really have that mix and diversity. So some of the low and moderate income families can live in high opportunity neighborhoods. You know, some of the other ideas are around tax and treasury, so tax credits, even opportunity zone reform. What's been really neat is that the Choice in Affordable Housing Act is really expanding funding for the Section 8 HCV. So a lot of those improvements are being made, and even land access. So just being creative in terms of, you know, transit authorities and partnering with transit authorities, because now at the federal level, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act is really allocating a lot of TOD funds, transit authority funds, and transit oriented development funds. So really kind of partnering with those transit authorities that have excess land. We've got a project right now that we're working on with a church, and they've got excess land. So just getting creative about how to access land, again, in high opportunity neighborhoods. Two other items, really. So one, if you think about material costs and labor, just some of the modular housing, you know, innovation that's occurring, some of the tariffs that are occurring from a supply chain perspective, we think that we have some solutions there. And then, of course, immigration modernization because of a lot of the labor shortages that are occurring in this country. But it really takes a kind of concerted effort of incorporating and integrating all these different ideas, because no one idea on its own is going to solve the problem. But really having kind of a cohesive, deliberate, you know, intentional approach to really solving this using all the levers that are at our disposal. And really just taking, you know, it being incumbent on us, because again, you know, the federal government, even from a legislative perspective, a lot of the acts that are coming out are meaningful and are going to make a difference, but also taking leadership at the regional and local level to really move the needle as well. But I'm encouraged by where we're headed.
So Antonio, on a personal note, you graduated from Cal Polytech, attended the Stan Ross program in real estate at USC, and you're an alumnus of Harvard's Institute for Responsible Investing. What do you think you've learned along your journey building Comunidad that could really help the next generation of leaders in the affordable housing industry?
I would say when I started Comunidad, I didn't have any experience in multifamily. I didn't have a background. I didn't have a track record. I didn't, you know, work at a large real estate investment platform or institutional management firm. But I did know that this is something that I had a tremendous desire and drive and energy. I just gravitated towards it because it just melded all these different things of community building, place-based, you know, investment, people, right? And bringing the best out of people, bringing the best out of community. So I knew that there was lightning in a bottle, right? I knew that there was some magic there. And I didn't really know where it would go. I didn't know where it would lead. But my advice to folks that are interested in this space is take a leap, even if you don't have a background, even if you don't have a track record, even if you haven't worked for a large firm, or even if you have, you know, just you know, make a commitment to understanding, appreciating, always finding, you know, beauty in the challenge, right? I think, you know, just human nature, you can accomplish something and say, okay, well, I've accomplished that. I'm going to go to something different. For us, is like, well, how do we get better at this, right? Yeah, we have these great impact programs, but how do we take it to the next level? And so my advice would just be stick with it. I had to really kind of triangulate because I didn't understand industry parlance. I didn't understand terminology. I had to ask a lot of stupid questions. And, you know, I had the humility and, you know, maybe it was the naivety as well to ask those stupid questions. But what was interesting is when I would, you could find some of the most profound answers just by asking simple questions that in your mind may be stupid, but you know, again, that may be such a fundamental question that folks aren't even thinking about that it can really kind of bring you in to a true understanding of the work that that we're doing in this industry and the work that people that are interested in may have a real desire to work in or support. So I would just say commit. Be open, be humble, ask stupid questions, and just build relationships with good people as well.
Antonio, it has been a pleasure talking with you and learning more about Community Ad Partners and what you're doing in the multifamily world and for workforce housing. So we appreciate this niche that you are growing and that you've created and finding solutions in the affordable housing industry.
Well, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed this and appreciate, you know, the work that you're doing in terms of amplifying voices and really supporting housing and really engendering kind of innovative ideas and discourse like this. So it's been a great pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Changemakers with Katie Gore. To find out more about Katie, go to quadel.com. That's QUADEL.com. This has been a production of Forbes Books Radio.